I'd like to call on the sponsor of the questions at this time. If you can, we'd appreciate your completing the evaluation forms. That would be very helpful in planning future events.
All right, the questions that have been presented to me are very serious, and I'm going to take them very seriously. How do you know when memory loss is serious or not? At what point do you seek help? Forgetting names and forgetting where you put your glasses if you don't wear them all the time is not necessarily the hallmark of Alzheimer's. When you're to be concerned, you should be concerned when the things that you usually do almost automatically, and because you've been doing them so long and so often, do not come as readily to mind. When you start forgetting things that you always took for granted, and I'm not talking about names, I'm talking about things like paying your bills on time, where you put the checkbook, whether you hold on to your pocketbook when you go places, or you put it down and you walk away knowing full well it's an invitation for somebody else to take it. But you somehow have difficulty holding on to all the pieces that put your life together. When you notice that at work you're not completing a day's work in a day's time because you keep leaving pieces out, pieces that you didn't used to leave out. And this is what we're looking for. What we're asking, ask yourself, is there a change from earlier performance for important things, important acts, that is really interfering with your getting through the day, the week, the month comfortably? That's the time when you get concerned. We do all slow down, just in the way that there have to be senior golf tournaments and senior tennis tournaments because the legs don't work anymore as well as they used to. And these people are still superb athletes, but they're not 30 years old anymore. Well, our brains are not 30 years old anymore. It's Sherlock Holmes's idea was the brain is an attic and it's cluttered with a lot of detail. And sometimes you can remember those details a lot better than you can remember the important things. But the critical issue is, am I losing and forgetting important pieces of information? Pieces that really impact on my life, on the lives of other significant others in my life. That is something you want to take very seriously. As I say, forgetting names, misplacing the keys, we all do it. We just never paid attention to how often we did it before. Another question is, what can one do to reverse or stop the memory loss? Well, we do grow new brain cells. They may not function as efficiently as the older ones do, but we do grow them. Most of the problems we have in adulthood when we talk about memory are not encoding deficits, that is where you fail to learn the information. Most of the time, it's a retrieval problem. So that if I tell you what's the name of the actor, and I give you enough cues, the information is there. It's available to you, it's just not readily accessible. So it's frustrating. I think that's why they invented the word darling. Hello, darling, how are you? How have you been? How are your children? And what were their names? And oh God, was this his bar mitzvah or his wedding? I met you at. What can we do? Well, the doctor told us there are a couple of things that are rather harmless. Vitamin E. It's been shown to be helpful. For women, estrogen has been shown to be helpful. But for everybody, vitamin E is virtually harmless, taken in moderate doses. There are things on the market, I don't recommend them. Things like ginkgo biloba, ginseng, green tea. Do not take these without discussing it with your physician. They are chemicals. They are not controlled, the doses are not exact, and one manufacturer is different from another, and they interact with any medications you may be taking. Medications. It is a rare senior who is not on some medication, and the medications do have central systemic effects. Inderol is one of the safest drugs used for 30 years now, and it's marvelous. But the fact is, it takes a little edge off your thinking. So that when you're prescribed drugs, you speak to your physician and discuss, you know, I'm taking this drug and great, you know, you tell me my blood pressure is fine, but you know, I'm just feeling so lethargic all the time. There are so many medications now, they can change it, they can titrate it to you. But the medications can interfere with your memory, they can interfere with your sleeping. And if you don't get enough sleep, and your sleep is interrupted, as women find during menopause and beyond, sleep becomes interrupted, it interferes with your memory. There's a new study out that says, if you take an afternoon nap, it helps. Seriously, I'm very serious. They found they actually woke people after 10 minutes and after 30 minutes, and the ones who took the 30-minute naps performed better on the test. So we all have that dip in the afternoon. If you have the luxury of putting your feet up and taking a rest, by all means do it. Keep yourself healthy. It's the best thing in the world for your memory. Keep yourself happy. That's very important for your memory too. There is an expression out there we call pseudo-dementia, which actually is depression. And because depression is like walking through thick, heavy clouds with weights on your feet, where everything is so effortful, everything is slowed, even your thinking, even your remembering. So that if there's an issue, depression is a treatable, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. This is a very stressful world we live in, and somehow with all the new and wonderful technical advances, the pressure to do more and more on the individual takes its toll. So that now you're not only supposed to take wonderful care of your parents, but you're supposed to hold a full-time job as well. It's a pressure-laden world, and neither dementia nor depression is something to be hidden or to be ashamed of, because treatments are available. Then the issue comes up, what about money? New drugs are incredibly expensive. Drug companies have to recoup their research and development. However, talk to your doctor, talk to the pharmacist, talk to Judy, because drug plant doctors get samples, and before you go and spend the money on a month's prescription, take it for a week, I'll buy a samples, and see, does it help? Sometimes doctors have a lot of samples, and I know my husband is a cardiologist, has a couple of patients whom he simply slips, they just don't have it. You know, these are people who are really, you know, below the poverty level, and he just gives it to them. If it's an issue, again, nothing to be ashamed of. My mother decided that her Zocor was too expensive, she would only take it every other day and make it last longer. Because she is slightly demented, it took some doing to explain to her that the reason the doctor prescribed it every day was a very good reason. And, you know, we would get her medicine that she needed. But drug companies do have programs for people whose drugs are very, very expensive. Yes?
Last question, there are always trials.
Well, clinical trials are something else, because clinical trials are for new drugs that are in the pipeline.
Right.
And that's something else. That's when I'm talking about drugs that are on the market. You know, because they always have these articles in AARP about going to Mexico or going to Canada or something to go get your drugs. Yes?
They have a new program, EPIC.
Yes. Yeah, the EPIC program also to help deal with it. Sometimes the programs are not as great as you'd like, but certainly, rather than not take the medicine, ask. The medicine was prescribed for a very important reason.